All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual very prominently featured at BKFC 45, which goes down on June the 23rd. It's slated as the co-main event and a very intriguing middleweight matchup as Jake Bostwick knuckles up and toes the line against Eric Lozano and great heaven Eric on the show for the first time. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Thanks for the opportunity to be on here and looking forward to this big fight Friday.
Yeah, and it's a really incredible run you've had. I mean, I feel like you kind of just dove right into the deep end with your first BKFC fight, but the next fight just with an emphatic big KO. Like, can you speak to your arc in BKFC so far, just debuting against a guy like Lorenzo Hunt, who is like the number two pound for pound champ in two divisions, and then getting that kind of a highlight reel knockout over a former champion in your last fight?
You're kind of breaking up. I could barely understand what you were saying.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, can you speak to your BKFC journey fighting someone like Lorenzo Hunt, who's ranked in the pound for pound there, and then getting such an emphatic KO over a former champion last time out? Like, I guess, how has the BKFC journey been so far?
Well, for me, it was my first fight. I was a little out of my element going into just pretty much boxing when I'm used to doing MMA. And but I got my feet wet with that Lorenzo Hunt fight. We went in there and banged, and I took that fight on short notice. And with the experience that I got in that fight, I think I'm ready and set to go. And I've already fought some of the best. I've fought the champ, and I fought a former champ. So, I want to say, with the experience I got, I'm looking forward to Friday, and it's my training's changed because of BKFC. I don't have to worry about getting taken down or anything like that. So it's more boxing. I can let my hands fly, and I'm way more prepared than I was first time around.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you talk about having a longer camp as being a big factor. Like, how much did kind of changing up the, you know, weight division help you out too? Like, did you feel this is a more natural weight division?
Oh, yeah. I fought a hunt, I believe, at, I guess it's heavyweight and BKFC at 205. And I typically fight at 185. I've even fought at welterweight at 170. Back when I started doing MMA. We're getting older, it's getting a little harder to cut weight and stuff, but I think I got it down packed where I'm pretty solid at 185.
Yeah, for sure, and it seems like you're eyeballing a run at becoming the BKFC champion, and it seems like you're, you know, taking fights to do that. Like we said, having fought a former champ and getting ready to fight someone like Jake Bostwick that's pretty well favored in the company. Like, do you feel like you're on a good track to achieving that goal of being a BKFC champion someday?
Yep, I want to fight the best. I want objectively to get a rematch with Lorenzo Hunt or whoever is the champ. I think there's an intern champ championship fight coming out at 185. I'm not sure why Lorenzo's a champ and he's not busy right now. I don't see him lined up to fight anybody, so I'm not sure why he's not defending that belt. But either way, that's my goal, is to become the light heavyweight champ for BKFC eventually, and I'll go through whoever I have to go through to get there.
That's interesting. Is it a sense of redemption wanting that Lorenzo Hunt fight just to kind of tie up a series, or is it more just, I want to beat like the number two pound for pound guy and win the title kind of thing?
What was that again? I'm sorry. I didn't hear the last part.
Oh, no worries. I'm just wondering if it's more of a redemption thing, or you just want to beat a guy who's like the number two pound for pound and the champion.
Well, objectively, I want to fight the best because I want to be up there in the names of pound for pound and BKFC and and he's up there at the top. So I'm pretty sure everybody else wants to try to get to the top, and they're not giving me any easy matches, and I don't ever want any easy matches. I tend to get up for these big fights, and I rise to the occasion when I have to, and I'm looking forward to this opportunity against Jake Boswick, which I know it's gonna be a fight. He comes to fight every time, and I can't wait because this is one of the better prepared camps I've had, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it seems like you learned a lot more about the sport between the first and the second fights. Like, obviously, you were talking about having a longer camp for that one, but what would you, I guess, credit for that growth in your bare knuckle game? Because it seems like you really leveled up between the first and second fight.
Yeah, like I said, I was out of my element the first time. I knew Lorenzo Hunt had a couple of bare knuckle fights under his belt, and it's just a different atmosphere in there. And where I'm used to throwing spinning back kicks, spinning back punches, flying knees, crazy stuff like that, I was a little timid on how to react to his movement too. And like, I wanted to throw that spinning back punch. It kept on moving to my weak side. But either way, like I said, I'm a lot more prepared, and I can't wait for Friday. I'm excited, and I know Boswick's gonna come and be game. He comes game every time he fights, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be fight of the night, and can't wait. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts on, like, what he brings to the table stylistically? It seems like you're aware of the fact that he's, like, a pretty action-intense fighter, but, like, across his five BKFC fights, like, what would you say he does well out there stylistically?
His style is he's a brawler. He's gonna come straight forward. For me, I'm a brawler. I can be a brawler when I need to be a brawler. And MMA, I used to come in and just try to just annihilate my opponent. And I learned in the pros that all it takes is one hit, and it's game over. So I became a little bit more of a counter puncher in MMA, and now the transition to BKFC makes me the transition is like, for me, you gotta go as soon as they tell you ready to fight. You can't wait for all that and bare knuckles. Don't be the first one to get hit. You have to be the aggressor. So I'm trying to get back to where I used to be when I started fighting, and that right there is a big change from warming up and stuff and fights to where in BKFC you gotta go get it and get after it right away.
Yeah, and that pace seems to favor what you bring to the table, but you talk about your MMA experience and having, like, 35 pro MMA fights, getting ready for your third bare knuckle fight here. Like, we're talking about how you don't have to worry about, like, different, like, spinning techniques and takedowns and things like that, but what are some differences in a bare knuckle camp as far as, like, maybe how you handle preparing for that particular kind of stand-up fighting? Like, is there nuances in the boxing or techniques you do to strengthen your hands, anything like that?
My coach, my boxing coach, has me doing this weird thing with a medicine ball where I'm kind of like pushing it or sliding it on the ground with my hands to make my knuckles and my hands more stronger, so they don't break as easy. I've broken my hands a couple fights in MMA, but and bare knuckles is a different game. All you're doing is pretty much boxing without gloves, and
Yeah, it seemed like even before you got really into martial arts, it seemed like growing up in South Texas, you were always having to throw down a little bit, eh?
What was that question again?
Oh, I was just saying, it seems like even before you started training martial arts, growing up in South Texas, you'd have to throw down and defend yourself a bit, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I grew up in South Texas, and I've always had to defend myself, never back down from anything. I was always athletic, so I played varsity as a freshman, and you know, the upperclassmen tried to pick on you or whatever, but yeah, I was always defending myself. It didn't matter to me who it is, and like even up here when I started MMA, I'll fight whoever, whenever, and now I'm getting a huge opportunity with BKFC and fighting the. Well, I lost to Lorenzo Hunt, and he's a champ, 2-time champ in 2 divisions. I just beat the former champ and Francisco Ricky, and now I'm getting another solid opponent. And I asked for that. I want a top 5 opponent, and if the opportunity is there, I would love to fight the winner of Mundell and Richmond. So if I have to cut to 75, then that's what I'll do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of great options. And I mean, I guess briefly touching on that last fight, the emphatic Francesco Ricci win at BKFC 38. Like, how does it feel to generate a stoppage like that? I mean, it was such a big highlight and got a lot of people excited. Like, what were your, I guess, thoughts after, you know, scoring a highlight reel victory like that?
Well, it was great. I was excited. I knew I was a huge underdog. Like I said, with the experience that I got in the first fight, I knew what I had to do. I had to come out and be aggressive. For me, I seen a little video on Ricky, and I seen he was vulnerable to that overhand right. So, in the first minute, I believe I threw it like three times with a couple 1-1s, and then also in the overhand right, trying to set up that overhand. And then I seen that he was dropping his hand when I fainted, and I just exploded with that punch, and I hit him right in the butt, and I knew it was over after that.
Yeah, definitely great insights to be had there for sure, but I guess I'm curious about this fight. I mean, you kind of strike me as a fighter that is maybe fluid out there and tries to adapt with whatever happens in the fight, but I'm curious, do you have a certain, I guess, visualization or prediction for how you see this Jake Bostwick fight ending?
Well, I think me and Bostwick are gonna come in both trying to be the aggressors, and I think it's gonna be a brawl. Like I said, I'm predicting it to be fight of the night. And with us throwing heavy hands like we do, I mean, this potentially can be a knockout of the night too, for either one of us. I don't shy away from those brawling moments. I look forward to it. I like it. And I think it's gonna be a banger. And if you had to ask me if I have a game plan, my game plan is to move around a lot and try to keep them guessing, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I mean, a very intriguing fight on paper, definitely one I was excited to see get announced, and I appreciate you making some time to talk before the fight, Eric, but also in being mindful of your time and schedule, I'm curious, is there any final parting thought you want to add as we're wrapping up here, man?
I didn't hear the last part, I'm sorry. It's breaking up when you come in, but can you repeat that last part?
Yeah, no worries, man. Just wondering if there's any final thoughts you'd want to add as we're wrapping up.
No, man. Like I said, I'm excited about the fight. I got a couple of pounds to lose still, but that's part of the fight camp. Fight week, you go do what you got to do, and
Yeah, definitely a great fight at BKFC 45, and very much excited to see that on June 23rd. And again, thanks for the time, man. Looking forward to that, and you have a good rest of your day, man. Thank you.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and I'll see you out there.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKFC 45, which goes down on June 23rd. And a very intriguing bout set to go down as Eric Lozano knuckles up and toes the line against Jake Bostwick. And great getting to have Jake on the show today. How's everything going there, man?
Yeah, very well, mate. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on the show. And yeah, mate, I am here loud and clear.
Yeah, and another co-main event here and everything like that. You fought, you know, the number 5 ranked light heavyweight last time out, and it seems like you've got a good fight lined up here. Someone coming off of a highlight reel win over the former BKFC middleweight champion last time out. Like, what was the sentiment when the bout offer initially came your way for this one?
What's that for Eric Lozano?
Yeah,
honestly, yeah, I was like, he's got power, obviously. You know, he's still game. He's still a tough, very tough opponent. Even though the weight class is still 10 pounds up, I still feel with my ability and, you know, my skill set, I'll be able to take Lozano out. So I was quite pumped about it. I thought it was an exciting one. You know, I'm ready for the test, you know. Ready to clash with him for sure.
Yeah, and a lot to talk about with that fight, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on the last one I sort of did there in mentioning you had fought Doolittle, but just such a, you know, barn burner fight against him and, you know, got the fight of the night honors and stuff like that. I mean, perhaps the feeling initially with it being like a majority draw is maybe not the verdict you were looking for per se, but it seemed like it was a well-received kind of fight in a lot of regards. So what were the, you know, main takeaways from that one?
I wasn't too sure on the scorecards how that was going. I was ready to go for the 6th round, and I thought we was good to go. And then when he said, no, the fight's over, I was like, oh, maybe I pinched it, because I still feel I did more in that fight with Doolittle, you know? Even though with the knockdown, I still feel I was the aggressor. I landed more shots or whatever. I don't know. It was a tricky one to really, like, say. So, yeah, after I got given the draw, I just had to take it on the chin, accept it for what it was, and just saw it as another 5 rounds of knowledge I've picked up, you know, trying new things out. You know, you can watch my fights back to back and see how much I've evolved or changing, adapting, you know. So it's good to, like, even watching back on that fight, studying myself and, like, things I didn't like what I was doing. You know, so that I'm happy with.
Yeah, and I was seeing an article before that fight where you were saying your aim was to entertain in the BKFC 38 co-main. I think it's safe to say that you guys did that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, man, like, you know, I'm never in a boring fight, brother. You know, I've had 40 professional fights, actual contracted fights, I believe, about 40, you know, MMA fights and then boxing, whatever, kickboxing, Thai boxing. I've never heard the word boo, bro. Like, I've never heard the word boo. Like, I'm never, ever boring. I'm always going out my shield. I'm always trying to be explosive, trying to look good, you know, and everyone's always excited when I'm fighting. So, again, I'm super pumped to be able to co-main event again and be able to, you know, hopefully display some good skills and put on an absolute show yet again.
Yeah, I mean, your track record speaks to that for sure, but there's a certain synergy to the fight, too, just with Eric Lozano last winning on the same card as your Doolittle fight there, just getting that aforementioned, you know, big knockout over Francesco Ricci and doing so in less than a minute. What were your thoughts on his performance there? I mean, it seemed like a pretty emphatic kind of highlight. Like, what were your thoughts on that, I guess?
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I was shocked. I was like, damn, I couldn't believe it. You know, not that I couldn't believe it, but, like, especially something happening like that so fast on in the fight, you know, Ricci was, like, just sort of finding himself and then already got clipped. So, you know, it sucked to see the fight end that way because Ricci's actually a really good dude. And although I've even fought him and lost to Ricci on a decision, I had a really great fight against Ricci. So the fact that happened is like, you know, I feel like me getting a win over Eric, you know, eliminates, I feel, that loss for me when I did fight him in a weird way. So I was shocked, bro. 1 minute in, you know, it sucks, but you know, this is the fight game and this is bare knuckle. And bare knuckle's dangerous, mate, and it's not to be played with. It takes nothing to get damaged, to cut you, knock you out, whatever. So, you know, this game is dangerous for anybody that does step into it anyway. Crazy. But fun.
Yeah, no, a good way to put it, for sure. And your opponent has had a pretty interesting arc. I mean, kind of similar to you in as far as like the experience in other combat sports, just being that he has 35 pro MMA fights, but even just across his two BKFC fights, I mean, going from like fighting a guy like Lorenzo Hunt on short notice, who's obviously like a dual division champion and the number two pound for pound right now, and then a knockout in that last fight, as we just kind of mentioned. But as far as like the X's and O's of, you know, what he does well in the ring, like what would you say some of Eric Lozano's bigger stylistic attributes are?
I just feel like he's a power puncher and he's a little bit unpredictable. You know, other than his overhand right, you know, he does throw some shots. He does throw his bombs. So he's dangerous if you're in there close with him anyway, you know. I just feel like his strength is that he's game, and I feel that, you know, he's ready to take a couple shots, you know, to give some, you know. So I think we've got to be hands tight and be super ready for his, you know, his power shots. Just feel like, yeah, he's a bit more of a brawler than I'd say a boxer. But the brawling is still dangerous either way. So I feel that's his best attribute, is that he's good at what he does, like throwing big heavy shots.
And for your preparations, I'm kind of
being able to weather some damage also.
Yeah, I mean, definitely something you've shown for sure. I guess I'm kind of curious how you go about, I guess, curating the sparring partner dynamics. Because I've talked to some fighters who will work with fighters who have, you know, similar body types or stylistic attributes to the upcoming opponent. Like, are you kind of doing it like that, or are you sparring just the usual?
I'm actually working with a kid called Lorenzo. Lorenzo Medina. He's like, honestly, shout out to that kid. He's like 7-0 or 8-0 now. 7-0, I believe, as a pro. He's a proper prospect. You know, he's a heavyweight. But yeah, he gives me really good work. He gives me a good feel of like we've watched my partner together. You know, and gone over a couple of things that he tends to do and whatnot. So he's trying to give me a bit of a feel. But he is a very skilled boxer anyway, so his head movement and so forth is, you know, very on point. So it's a lot of moving around. Even though he's a bigger guy, he gives me a really, really good feel, and you know, helps really keep me sharp. So shout out to that kid, mate. He's he's helped me. So thank you.
Yeah, it seems like historically you've gotten in a lot of great work. Like when I was researching you, it seemed like Bad Boy Gym was like a big space, and just some of the other locations like Team Titan and Double K Gym, American Top Team. Like it seems like you've gotten in some great work all around.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to do a lot of traveling. I've been in the fight game 17 years. So, and I've been in martial arts anyway as a kid from when I was like 7, 8 years old. Taekwondo, judo, went from judo into MMA, and then from the MMA escalated, you know. So, but again, that was all from when I was a kid, and that's all I've known as well, you know. And as a kid where I grew up, I was always fighting in the street and all that. So then I started putting it all into the gym and so forth. And then the gyms I've got to travel to since then till now is absolutely crazy, mate. And put it all together, all that knowledge together. Different sparring partners, man, sparred with like fuck everyone, legit, like everyone. I've had barn burners in the gyms, mate, you know, like, for example, I was in Holland, in Amsterdam for like, I don't know what, 3 years or so, 3 years, sorry, 3 months, and I was sparring with Melvin Manoff, and I was his main sparring partner and whatnot, and training partner for that time, and to think I was doing that when I was like 19, 20 years old or something. It's crazy. And then that was just then, let alone, again, like, traveling and coming over here to American Top Team, training with, like, everyone, anyone and everyone over here. It's been absolutely eventful, mate. Blessing.
And you talk about how much knowledge you've accrued from the experience. It seems like you're paying that forward in a few different regards, I guess. But I guess I specifically mentioned like the brutal bare knuckle program. Like, it seems like you've been really immersing yourself in everything like that. Like, how has that whole experience been, just kind of putting together some tutorial content for bare knuckle and kind of paying your knowledge forward?
It's been fun, mate. You know, yeah, like I said, I've got 7 years experience. I've been working with Phil DeRue, as an example, on that note, I'm talking about the program. It's like a strength conditioning program, obviously, with some self-defense and some, you know, some simple basic like boxing stuff, how to have your hands, footwork and so forth, how to throw your shots. But then the rest of it is all our explosive work, our training, all the work that we do in the gym to make me be who I am is literally doing the same thing. So, it's awesome that I've worked and found a coach like Phil DeRue, being able to educate me and help me get better in all the areas that I feel I needed to be better, especially for the game that I'm in, being explosive and whatnot. It's been super awesome, mate. Really, really, really good. You know, all the knowledge put together. I'm 17, 18 years doing this now. So it's nice to start kind of sharing that to the world and show you that, you know, consistency is key. Really want people to check our program out. Definitely go check our program out. Link is in my bio, on my Instagram, and everywhere else.
Yeah, definitely something that, you know, people should be checking out for sure. I feel like there's a lot of great insights to be had in there. But we've been talking about some of the people you've gone to work with and stuff like that. I'm kind of wondering if you've gotten some recent work in with Jake Paul. I was seeing you were working with him in some past camps and stuff like that. Like, is that someone you still find yourself getting in work with every now and again?
I haven't got any working with Jake since the Woodley fight. You know, I was only a sparring partner, you know, obviously it wasn't any kind of other like sort of relationship. It was, you know, I was there to give him a good feel of a body, for example, like how you just mentioned about people having bodies, you know, people to mimic a certain fighter. So I gave a very good Woodley feel with his height, his size, his style, you know. I gave him really good work for that. I haven't seen no works with him since that. If he, you know, eventually comes across an opponent or is going to be fighting somebody with a similar stature to me or so forth, maybe I'll get a call up if I'm needed or so forth. But that's all. I speak to BJ and, you know, I speak to some of the guys from his camp and from his team. They're just really cool people, mate. Honestly, I had a real, real good time with them. You know, a lot of people talk shit about them and so forth, but I'm not even one to suck ass because I ain't sucking ass, but it's just like, they're really cool people, bro, and they're working hard, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can only speak to your own experiences, so good to hear you were able to, you know, get in some good quality work, and it seemed like it also, you know, benefited him, that being said, but kind of curious to, I guess, touch on one of your past fights here, just because it's kind of an interesting dynamic. Like, obviously you represent the UK well and stuff like that, but it seems like you've been enjoying kind of immersing yourself in like Miami and just like the Florida culture in general, just kind of like really getting some roots put in there as well. But that being said, like, what was it like getting, you know, that performance at BKFC 27 in London? Like, was that an especially important win when you beat Chris Fish Gold at that event in August of last year?
It's definitely been nice, you know, definitely trying to build my roots over in Miami, for sure. So this is like obviously my new home, but obviously my home away from home, you know. So it was, I was excited for my London fight as soon as I got there, and just even hearing the British people and so forth, it was just like as if I hadn't left, you know. So I felt calm, I felt good, I felt, you know, I was super excited, and it was nice to be able to display, you know, because obviously I was coming off of a loss as well, I believe. So to go over there and get a dub, and, you know, I was nervous about that fight because, you know, he's a dangerous brawler. He he's got heavy hands and he's game, same kind of aspect. But it was lucky, I was lucky to catch him out, call him, not lucky, but obviously I set my shots up well, caught him well, and legit broke his face. I think I broke his eye socket, mental. And it was just so nice to be able to deliver damage, do
yeah, it must have been so satisfying to be able to show the skills and, you know, that kind of a moment and performance and everything like that. And as we were talking about before, you're a guy who has experience in a few combat sports before getting into bare knuckle. Like, obviously, with, you know, MMA transitioning to bare knuckle, you don't have to worry about the different kicks and grappling, etc. But even, like, isolated to the, you know, stand-up, like, is there any unique things you do in a bare knuckle camp as compared to maybe readying to fight MMA? Like, I know some guys use, like, the wooden Muay Thai boards and kind of get in some, like, bare knuckle work with, like, I don't know, different, like, harder surfaces at, like, reduced velocity, I guess. Like, do you have any tricks of the trade like that, or not so much?
Honestly, yeah, just, like, sandbag work, you know, I hit a sandbag. I do a lot of bare-knuckle striking on the bag in general and on the mitts. I've just been doing that for a while anyway. I've always been wanting to, like, toughen up my hands and my wrists, you know, your metacarpals and so forth, because you just want to strengthen out your hands, but, you know, the sandbag work is the best work. It really is. The punching a sandbag, hitting it different ways, different angles. I do that a few times a week. Along with, you know, now and then I will do rounds on the bag and I'll crack the bag, mate. Like, I'm trying to rip the bag down and I'll have just, like, wraps on my wrist. So I do a lot of stuff like that. It definitely makes a difference and it definitely helps. I recommend anyone to be trying to condition their hands because, yeah, you're trying to punch people in the face and hit a hard surface, you know, you're gonna break your hands.
Yeah, I mean, good work to be had and everything like that, it sounds like, but I'm curious to kind of get some insights in this regard because certain fighters I talk to will sometimes have visualizations of the fight that they go through and things of that nature, whereas some kind of more defer to, I guess, getting in that flow state and adapting more in, like, the vacuum of the fight, I guess. Like, do you have a predominant visualization for how you see this fight ending? Like, maybe a particular outcome you see popping up in this one?
I'm looking for that stoppage, mate. You know, I'm definitely looking for that stoppage. But obviously, so is he. So, you know, I put my mind where I need to put it, which is, like, for me, when it comes to the visualization and, like, the flow state, I think about the fight and so forth, think about what I want to deliver, what am I catching with. But sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. So when it doesn't work out that way, I don't know. I like to turn up because I'll think about the fight on the fight day. I'm thinking about the fight now, but I'm not stressing about it. I'm not tripping about it. Like, whatever. I'm really, like, whatever. But when it comes to, like, the weigh-ins and actually, like, making weight, seeing my opponent and, like, that night and so forth, then I start getting excited about it because I'm excited to perform because I want to go in and do my performance. And I know how and what I want to do to stop him, you know? So it's just, like, when that happens, I don't know. But I just, like, legit just deal with it there and then because I have no control of, like, what's really going to happen other than me showing up to do my thing. And that's it. I don't care about the crowd. I don't care about the cameras, the spotlight, whatever. I'll have fun with all that. But as soon as it's, like, knuckle up, like, I've got to just do what I've got to do. And that is it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a very exciting fight, one I was stoked for when I saw it get announced, but definitely getting me more amped for the fight as we kind of get closer to June 23rd there, man. But just being mindful of, you know, your time and whatnot too. Like, is there any final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping things up here though, Jake?
Honestly, just like, yeah, if you haven't seen me fight and you are looking to see me fight, definitely tune in next Friday. It's June 23rd. That's going to be an absolute barn burner as always. Never, ever, ever going to be boring. Other than that, definitely go check out my training program, Brutal Bare Knuckle. It's on all of my socials. Link is in the bio. Massive shout out to MK1 Boxing as well because these guys are super awesome. They've been backing me. Really good partners. So, yeah, massive shout out to them. Let's effing go, son.
Yeah, for sure. Some good shout outs. And like I said, some good insights ahead of this Eric Lozano fight, and looking forward to seeing that at BKFC 45 for sure. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, man. Thank you for the time.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you. Have a blessed day.